Today is one of those days, I promise you. I have my homily prepared on my iPad, but forget about it. I was praying throughout the whole day what God wanted me to say, and He just told me, put your iPad away. So here's my homily. Perhaps it's not going to be perfect because I don't have it written down. But today we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's important for us to recognize who we are and who Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus, in the gospel reading today, is very clear in telling us that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's the act of knowing that making us always be at peace and restful in who is our good shepherd. My brothers and sisters, working with many people, working as a priest, working with inmates at the prison, working with college kids at MSU, at UNT, TWU, and other places, I can tell you that many of us are restless because we're so tired. We keep running after one thing after another, and we just don't know how to rest. And we only know how to rest when we're able to know who is our shepherd and that He is good. My brothers and sisters, we're all sheep. If we're trying to be something else that we're not, then this is when we begin to lose our peace. This is when we begin to focus on too much in trying to make a name for ourselves. Perhaps because of other people making fun of us, telling us that, oh, you are sheepish. You just follow the crowd. You just follow what the church asks, or what you blindly follow what the man-made instruction has given to you. Perhaps I am sheepish. I truly believe in what the church teach. I truly believe in what the church teaches for me, because I know that it's not just a set of rules, but my mother, the church, wants the best for me. And as I study my faith, even now, I try to study my faith every day. I come to a greater appreciation of why I believe. And even though it makes sense up here, the greatest sense for me to rest is knowing that even though things might not make sense, I have the good shepherd who truly cares for me and loves me. This is an intimate and personal knowledge of who Christ is. The sense of belonging, the sense of being loved. And this cannot be robbed away by anything in this world. The sense of being loved by Christ. Many of you ask me, oh Father, it must be special since you're a Christmas Eve baby. But perhaps I haven't told you the reason why I was a Christmas Eve baby. My mom was waiting for a long time, and I was baking inside her womb 10 days after what I'm supposed to come out. And they tried to induce her, but I was still baking in there. And finally, my mom said, I'm tired. She's going out no matter what. So they performed a C-section for her in Vietnam. And this was in the mid-80s, okay? And the medical technology in Vietnam after the Vietnam War was not good. So they basically put her out. She didn't even remember what happened for the next 3 days, okay? All of that were completely out because of the drugs they used on her. But when they did perform the C-section, they found two tumors blocking her ovarian tubes. And so the doctors told my dad, I don't know how your wife could ever conceive with those two tumors blocking her ovarian tubes. And perhaps I was a miracle baby. But I didn't know, because she thought that I was a miracle baby. She consecrated me to the Blessed Mother. And she said, I will give him up to you, Blessed Mother, so that he can be a servant of the church. Oh, shoot. That's why I'm a priest today, huh? I'm telling you, God takes our promise seriously. And I can tell you that in my whole life, there were times that I tried to run away from my priesthood. I wanted a family. I wanted children. I wanted many things in this life. But no matter how far I tried to run away from God, He always called me back. There was a sense that I couldn't understand why. But I said, fine. If you want me to be your priest, help me to believe in you, especially at times I don't know why. And perhaps even at times I don't know why I need to be a priest or why I believe. I am supported by the prayers of your prayer and the prayer of those who know me. Without your prayer and without the prayer of one another, you and I would never be here. The prayer, the power of prayer is so important in our lives. Sometimes we think that we can make it all by our own ability. We're not. We're here because we have been lifted up by the prayers of other people who loved us into being and who love us enough to pray for us. I wouldn't be standing here if it's not for some poor widow in a third world country or Mother Teresa's sisters praying for me. You wouldn't be here if someone in this world or perhaps someone in the hospital right now is not saying, Lord, I offer my suffering for someone who is in need, someone who is lost. All of us are here not because of a coincidence. All of us are here because we have been lifted up, strengthened, and love into being and continue to be supported in this journey of faith because of other people's prayer that we never, perhaps in our lifetimes, will never know them. But we're here not at some products of coincidence or chances. We're here because of God's divine providence. We're here because we're brothers and sisters. We're one flock of the one good shepherd. I always thank God that the sun had been coming up sooner now because I love to drive on Texas Highway 240 out to Electra on Sunday when I have to go out to St. Paul in Electra. I love driving on 240 because it's the country road and I'm able to spend the time to look at the side, except for the deer and the wild boar, I tell them, you stay where you are. Don't come out. But as I drive out on 240, to let you know that I'm not lying, right? On 240, as soon as you pass Obenhaus, I think the road named Obenhaus in the middle of nowhere, you and I begin to see lines and lines of electrical power, a tower, those giant power towers, they're all connected to one another. And I think this is the church for me. Sometimes I just love to pull aside and just to take a look at them. Miles and miles and miles of them, all connected to one another. This is the church for me. We're all connected to one another. And Jesus Christ is the power plant that give us power. And we're all connected to one another, which give us the power to fight on, the power to live life, the power of grace to move, even at times we don't know why we have to move. How wonderful it is for us to know that we're not alone, that we're loved into beings by God, and we are being lifted by each other's prayers. My brothers and sisters, in a society that becomes more individualistic each and every day, how wonderful it is to tell your children and grandchildren that we're not alone. We're all in this together. So how are we, as one flock, under one shepherd, care for one another? How are you and I caring for one another? Perhaps this is the legacy that I try to build here at the Three Parish, that we're not just one church out of the 13 churches here in Burke-Burnett. We are the people of faith, and we need to live our faith not when we only come to Mass, but outside of Mass as well, by how we care for one another, by how we learn to love one another, by how we allow the image and the light of Christ to radiate through us. And also, today on Good Shepherd Sunday, I would like to invite our young people here to perhaps consider the vocation to the priesthood and religious life. The bishop would like it, and I would love it. Because one day, when I get older and I can no longer do Mass, I hope that there's younger priests who perhaps will wheel me up into this and just say, "You stay in that corner, Father." But we do need young people to answer God's call. I remember when I was first ordained, I was asking one of the young people who were receiving First Communion, "Do you want to be a priest?" And that child was saying, "Yes, I'm thinking about it, Father." And then all of a sudden, the mother went to me and said, "Oh no, my child is too smart, Father. Call other people." So I guess I am the reject because I'm not smart enough. So all the smart ones, don't let them be priests. Right? So let priests be the scum of the earth, right? And all the rejects. My brothers and sisters, how we are generous in giving our children up for God, how we are nurturing priestly vocation, do affect us. Our children, my young people, you need to instill within yourself the desire to serve, the desire to give yourself for something greater, not just for your immediate satisfaction or something that's going to give you some complimentary badge or merit, but something greater deep within your heart, knowing that this is not just my job. This is my vocation. This is my mission. This is my purpose. This is what Christ wants of me. So I pray for the young people that they spend the time not asking, "How can I be successful?" But instead ask, "What does Christ want of me? And how can I give my life to Christ completely?" For those who are parents and grandparents, nurture within your own family how you and I can teach the future generations of the church how to pray and how to love God. As today I'm speaking to you, I still remember how my grandmother took my little hand and, when I did not want to pray in the morning, took my hand and draw the sign of the cross on my forehead, on my chest, and upon my shoulders. So that we know the greatest thing that we can pass on to the future generations isn't some riches or some success or anything of this world, but the gift of faith, the gift of knowing Christ, and the gift of giving ourselves to Christ. And last of all, for each and every one of you, I know life is not easy. I'm not here to sell you false hope. I'm not going to be here and sell you the prosperity gospel, saying that if you give enough, God will bless you back. I'm here to tell you that you and I are not alone. And it is wonderful. I'm sharing this with you as a personal knowledge. It is wonderful to have a shepherd who truly loves us and who never abandoned us. Someone who cares for us deeply, someone who has died for us, and someone who continues to give himself for us that we're never alone. Even at times that you and I don't know how to approach prayer, even at times when you and I are mad at Jesus, we have someone wonderful to intercede for us. There are many days that I come to Mother Mary and I tell her, Mother, I don't want to talk to Jesus, your son, right now. He's being a jerk to me. But I have something that I would like for you to ask him for. Perhaps put my prayer intention in his back pocket and intercede for me, Mother Mary. How wonderful it is to have a mother who cares for us, who loves us, who lifts us up, and the saints who are there for us as well. We're not alone. We are the church. And how we're going to grow in the future at the church depend on you, depend on me, and how we pass and hand on the faith.